Ok, empezamos, ¿eh?
Vodka martini. Shaken or stirred? Do I look like I give a damn? This was a game changer in James Bond Casino Royale. And so is modern technology in a modern microphone box. Veronica Valeros and Sebastian Garcia, both known from various conferences like Black Hat or Echo Party, will tell you about the current situation and about the current state of microphone box. Please welcome, with a very, very warm hand applause, Spy versus Spy, a modern study of microphone box. Thanks.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. There's a lot of people here. So first of all, thank you to the CCC, to the Congress, to the translation team. For us, it's super awesome to be here. We're a little bit nervous, so we are eager to show you what we did.
Yeah.
I'm Sebastian Garcia. I'm from Argentina. I'm co-founder of the MaidsLab Hackspace. And usually in my day-to-day life, I work as a malware and network security researcher using machine learning in a university in Prague. And that's it.
Yeah. So I'm Veronica. I'm also from Argentina and also co-founder of the hackerspace MaidsLab. And my daily job is nothing like this. I'm a threat researcher doing network traffic analysis. So. We are here today to talk about microphone bugs, how to operate them, and how to detect them. So we have a lot of material to go through, so we are really eager to start. So,
Spy versus Spy, a modern study of MIC bugs operation and detection. This is something that we started working like 2 years ago. We were trying to see, okay, we don't know much about this. Probably few people know much about this, and there is quite a black hole in there for us. So we say, hey, we should get into that and see what is the reality for us in this topic.
Yeah, and everything started when we heard that Chinese artist Ai Weiwei found microphones hidden in the electrical sockets in his home and studio back in 2015. This was shocking for us. I'm sure many of you heard this this story. This was shocking because it was believed that the microphones were planted in his place back in 2011 when he was in jail. So there were 4 years of time between the planted devices until he found the devices. And 4 years is a lot of time for people to hear all your life and conversations and stories that go around your life. So we were shocked, like, how is this? We thought that this technology was old and deprecated and this was not used anymore, right? And we were wrong. So we started saying, well, why we don't hear about this anymore? So we started digging news, and there were a few other documented cases, like in this was, that had a little political emphasis because they found a bug in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. And of course, in these type of cases, when you find a bug in London, who can place a bug in London, right? So it was had like strong political implications. But these cases, it's not that microphone bugs are not used anymore. It's that people just don't speak about this freely. So the documentation and information available around these type of things is not freely available. And another thing is that it's very hard to actually know that you are bugged, right? So it's very critical.
Yeah, and even if you find it, most people maybe it's not telling others that they were bugged. So the information is scarce and scarce every time. There are a few cases that are publicly available, like this one.
Yeah, and we were thinking at this point, okay, what do we know about microphone bugs? And we found that most of the things that we know is from movies and TV shows. And when your information comes from movies and TV shows, that's not very nice, right? So we started to dig more and more. So we want to do this like a formal research, like as thorough as possible. So we started, as every research starts, with a kind of what it was done before, what information is available from the past, and we did like, okay, take the last 100 years and say what was there. And in here we kind of highlight some of the cases that we found interesting. Of course, there are hundreds of them. So these are some of the ones that we like the most. This one was invented in Russia. It was called the Great Seal Bug, or at the time it was known as the Thing. You know how much people knew about this, that they call it the Thing. It was a very interesting case because it was planted in the US Embassy in Moscow, and they took 7 years to find it because it was planted in plain sight, just in a room. There was a gift for the embassy, so they put it there on the wall, right? And it was found by accident because some people was some person that was listening to the radio found that actually he was hearing conversations that were coming from the embassy, but he was outside, so he was like asking what is going on. So they started investigating and they found this. Hmm.
So when they opened this thing, they found that there was no battery in there, only the microphone and some pieces of electronic. So how did it work if there was no battery, if it was alone in the embassy for 7 years? Does anyone here have any idea how this mic worked at the time? Anyone want to shout?
Oh.
Just shout. What do you think? Huh?
Wireless
exactly,
energy.
Right? Wireless energy. So thank you very much. So the idea was that somebody from the outside was emitting electromagnetic energy frequency, right, into the embassy, into the thing, powering up the thing, and then the thing was there capturing the sound, converting this into electricity, modulating frequency antenna, and transmitting back. They call this illuminating the embassy, right? They were pointing electromagnetic frequency. So, yeah, the people between this, inside this illumination area, didn't feel so happy at the time. So you can see that this is like NFC, near field communication technology, the same that we are using now. You transmit some energy wireless. Okay, maybe it was not near field, maybe it was very far away field communication, but it's the same idea, right? So the technology is not new. It was the first time that we saw they were using it like that.
Yeah, so after they found this, Americans, of course, took the idea and they created something very similar that is called Satir. It was just a copy of this. And this was after the Second World War, 1940-something. So, and this was kind of novel because it didn't require energy, right? But a few years later, the transistor was invented, so things started to shrink, and that was a technological advance on the field. And one example of this is the KGB bug. It was this generic as we found it. You can see that it's really small. It's 7 centimeters long. It has like 2 pins on the bottom, where it was a power supply, 1 pin in the top for the antenna, and the small screws in the middle were for tuning the frequency. So that was also innovative. And the small size make it really portable. Mm.
You can see there that the number we thought it was the serial number, which it's pretty large. But actually, somebody told us that the first 2 numbers was the year. So that's supposed to be from 1964.
Yeah. So this was not the only thing small that was invented in around these dates. This was a model, TY574A. This was invented in Czech Republic, or the old Czechoslovakia. It's a modular microphone, so it was very novel by the time. Every little cube had different functionalities, so you can assemble it in with different combinations. And the small cubes have like functionalities, like one of them can beacon home, whatever that means at the time. So it was kind of very clever. And we found some magazine, that old magazine, that explained how it was used. And you can see here that they made a fake wooden box where there was a microphone and then the pile of batteries that it needed to power it up. And it was placed under the table. So how many of you would check under the table like daily? Yeah,
all of you, right?
Yeah,
you go
right there
and check.
So this can go undetected like for very long. So yeah. It was very clever.
And you can imagine how many of these you have to use to start making the modules, right? Like
yeah,
object or oriented spine or something like that.
Yeah. So another device that was very interesting, because all these different microphones, and we will see in the future presentations that it's a problem, is how you power these microphones to last very long time, right? And this was it was very nice. It's called OPEC. It's because of it was a phone in the offices of the OPEC, this organization for petroleum something. It was found in Austria in the 70s. And if you pay attention to the image, it doesn't have pins for power supply, right? So it takes a very interesting twist. And this is a microphone that you place near electric wires. So it's powered up by induction, electrical induction. So it makes it really interesting, because you can just put it in the wall and or near electric wires that you know where they are, and it will stay there as long as you want it.
Yeah.
So it was very clever way
yeah,
to solve
yeah.
it.
Again, NFC in another way, but super, super interesting twist.
Yeah.
So this is from an old magazine from the 80s, and the idea here is to give you a hint of how many ways there are to spy people by using audio in a room like this. So there are plenty of those. The technologies, these are super old, and you can see that they are, yes, using the telephone, but also microwave, and also monitoring the typewriter key. So this one now, it's called back monitoring typewriter key sounds. It's called keystroke dynamic in the area. And they were doing that with sounds long time ago. And you can have also from the windows redirecting frequencies in there. You have also all the places to put the microphones that we are going to study today. So this is all, but there are plenty of ways of doing this, including there the laser pointing in the window from the 80s, right?
Yeah, and all of these, many of these were trying to solve the power supply problem, right? Mm. So the typical uses are inside phones or in the electrical sockets. Why? Because you need, you have free constant supply, also with the lamps and so on. These are typical locations used in the past and still now, right? But this is kind of old technology. Right now, we technology advanced, right? And we went to, why put a microphone in your home if I can infect your phone with malware and I know the phone will be with you all the time and I can listen to all conversations? So FinFisher is one of the default, let's say, most used malware for this. It was very well documented, different cases, but also there were right now, other clever solutions like lasers, right?
Yeah, this is a new technology that they are pointing laser to mist in the air, so water molecules in the air floating, and while you are talking and you are close to this mist, they're pointing a laser to that, and they can then hear you back. So there are a lot of new things that are going on, but we are going to focus on
we are more familiar with malware nowadays, but the fact that a person was 4 years had the microphone in their home without detecting it, that was something that we thought we needed to focus instead of this, right? So we wanted to get our hands on the technology. We wanted to try it on. We read some stuff, or we wanted to prove it for ourselves, how it works, how it sounds, how was the audio quality, and so on. So the spectrum of different microphones is huge. So we wanted to focus on something concrete. It's like a baby step on the research. So we focus on FM and GSM, commercially available microphone banks, but that also they are wireless. And they are also stationary. That means that they are microphones designed to be put in a place and be left there, right? You put it, I don't know, on the electrical socket and you just leave it. So there are other type of microphones that do not fill this characteristic. So we focus, try to reduce the scope somehow in this direction. We started looking in typical ways, Amazon, eBay, and other sites for microphones. This is one of the first one, the F908. It's very small, as you can see in the video. It has a plastic case. It has for power supply a 9-volt battery, but it has a very long antenna. So all these movies that say, yeah, let's hide a microphone, they just put it there. Well, you still need to hide antenna. So so that was is a very interesting model. We try to buy, we have a limited budget, so we try to buy like different models that have some differences. This one was around $33 US dollars, and it has an advertised range of 500 meters. Another model was this MicroSpy. It was, we wanted like the smallest thing that we can find, and this works in the same range of frequency, same power supply, is half of the price, doesn't have the case battery, but you can see there that there is a microphone, the socket for the battery, and also the very long antenna. And even this microphone, you can see that it's really small, but you need to put the battery, which is this big, right? So it's not that big, that small anymore. You just have to hide the whole thing. Another example that we bought is the Ear One. This have is very similar. This has for adjusting the frequency as well. The same range advertised is $18 US, and the only thing different is that it has like this cable for putting the battery, which is a bit easier to kind of place it on hide it because you can stretch it a bit more, right? But it has also a very long battery, antenna. We wanted to also find things. Okay, these three models were models that of microphones designed to be like spy microphones, right? And we started to think, what kind of devices could people normally have at their homes that can use for a spy microphone? So we found this. This is the Behrer BY04. These are baby monitors that work on FM frequency for some reason. This is very interesting. It's more expensive. The frequency is higher, 800 megahertz. And the advertised range is 800 meters, because it seems that it's kind of common just to leave your baby and just go 10 blocks away, right? So I'm not sure why. It's like that. So we wanted to also try some variety, and we bought this Mini A8. It's a GSM microphone. So it has a place for a SIM card, it has battery in there, it has cost like $10. And it's GSM, so you can call from anywhere in the world and you can listen to the conversations where the microphone is planted. And also you can configure it for to automatically detect a conversation. When it hears noise, it will automatically call you back and you can respond and you will hear what is going on. So it's very clever, it's small, but it's a different technology. So it's not FM, mm-hmm. and the detection is different.
Yeah, and this was a huge advantage, right? Yeah. So you can put it anywhere in the world and call. That is quite improvement in range. And also you can actually wait for somebody to make some noise, right? So this is a total different way of listening to others.
Yeah. So this is kind of a summary of the comparison of the different models. The three FM ones work in the same kind of frequency. The baby monitor works in a bit different frequency, but it's kind of the same. It has more range advertised, and you can see the difference in prices. It's kind of commercially accessible, right? So the next step was let's try to hear them, right? Let's try to see how it actually works. So we started doing experiments of listening. And we were doing this in a normal neighborhood, and we found that there was actually several blocks away you can hear perfectly the microphones. So this typical movie that there is a van in front of your home, hearing, that's not needed actually. You can hear from 300 meters away and it's perfectly fine. So that was very interesting. Our first experiment on
yes,
this.
Yes, and all the microphones were having this feature, right? So usually you don't need to be less than 100 meters away. Like, this is perfect hearing. Unless you are inside some iron box, there is no need for that.
Yeah. Of course, the more buildings there are, the maybe the audio quality differs, but it's actually perfectly fine. So we wanted to do, as I say in the beginning, as thorough as possible. So we documented all these experiments. All these tables are in the paper. You can read later. This is one of the experiments where the bag was stationary in one place, and the receiver was 300 meters away and getting closer. So we were recording the audio quality. And in most of the cases, it was very good quality. And also, I think the best case was where the distance was 15 meters and the person was 5 meters away. But even with 300 meters away, it was not that big of a difference. So that was very interesting for us to find out, like, first field experiments.
We forgot the bit.ly at the beginning. You want
the
to
what?
Tell the bit.ly to see the slides?
Yeah.
So super fast, but we forgot. If you go to that link at the beginning, bit.ly/spy34c3, you will see the slides in your computer moving with us. So you can actually see, click and copy the images and everything better than in here, right? Sorry,
yeah.
Forgot.
Okay.
So.
There. So based on these first experiments of only listening, right, we started to understand more. Like, these are some geolocation remarks, which are really interesting because an attacker needs to be close, right? And this is good for you, and it's also really bad for you for several reasons. First, it's good for you because it filters your kind of attacker's population. It's not that anyone in the world can attack you, right? It's the attacker and you have to be sharing the same kind of physical space or city or neighborhood. So that's kind of good for you. It's bad for them that they need to be close because you have more chances to kind of spot them, like suspicious behavior. But it's also bad for you that they are close because they are physically close to you, right? It's a different kind of
threat.
Yeah. So this is not good. And with other type of threats, eavesdropping threats like malware infections, anyone in the internet can help you, right? But in this case, you need to have people that can help you need to be kind of also close geographically. So that's not very good for you. Another remarks, we try to do a battery autonomy validation. So the different devices have advertised battery duration. Like, for example, the MicroSpy has an advertised battery of 168 hours. We tried it to leave it there, and in most of the cases, it was lower than advertised. The only two cases that was accurate was the ear one. Was around 100 hours, and the GSM one, which was 2 hours, that is really small time. Even the 100 hours is really small. Imagine that when the battery is out, you need to come back and just change the battery. So you need to have physical access to the place, and that gets things really complicated.
Yeah, and this is related to how you are targeting your operation. If you want to put a microphone, you have to know where and what you want to listen, to whom, in which place, because your window of opportunity is super small. So this is giving you an idea of, OK, what can you do with which microphone? It's not that you can just use any microphone, right?
Yeah, exactly. We wanted, because we work in our daily lives, working analyzing malware, we wanted to make some notes on how this is different from malware. Why would I choose malware to infect your phone, or why would I choose to place a microphone? And when you try to infect someone with malware, imagine that you don't have physical access to their phone, you have to plan a phishing campaign, you send a link to somebody, and the successful infection is not guaranteed. The guy might click, or the version of the operating system might be wrong, or something can happen, and the infection is not successful.
And also, you cannot choose the time, right? Like, yes, you are trying to infect somebody, but you never know when it's going to be infected. It can be today, tomorrow, or in a week. And actually, there are a lot of casualties around, like they are not the people you wanted to infect. So it's not straightforward to do this.
Yeah, and also when you find the malware, right? Imagine that you are analyzing some mobile device and you find the malware, you can analyze the malware, you can reverse it, you can find the malware leave traces, right? And you can use that to know who the attacker was, ideally, or have some idea.
Well, you know that something happened, right? Because
the
malware is there.
You know that something happened. Yeah. In the case of the microphones, if the operation was successful, you can go there, plant the microphone, just take it out, and there is no trace at all. You didn't know it happened. So that was kind of big differences. And also, people from the internet, as we say before, can help you with malware. With the microphones, it's not that easy.
So a big warning here, like we are trying to think about which is the difference between these commercially available microphones and the not commercially available microphones. We don't have access to these not commercial microphones, so we really don't know how far away they are in the technology of microphone bagging right now. Our ideas are that first is the choice between electricity or battery. So if you want to listen to a specific conversation, maybe with battery you're okay. If you need to listen everything that it's being said for a long time, then you need to plug to electricity. And this is constraining your options a lot. And then we have the problem with the transmission or storage. A lot of microphones, if you look at the, so we don't know what happened with the microphone that was fine, but IYY, but if you look at it, it looks that there are several modules. There is the antenna and the battery and the microphone, and there is another box that maybe is storage. We don't know, of course. So the idea is that you can store the audio in an SD card or something like that. So this is good because you are not transmitting, so you are less prone to be detected. However, you have to come back and get the SD card. So depending on your availability to get into the premises, you can use storage or not. There were versions of microphones that were having the microphones inside the room and then a cable to the module that was transmitting, like from 50 meters away. So this is like a hybrid option, right? You have the microphone, you are transmitting in real time, but from the room, there is no detection of this transmission. And then it's the thing of, okay, there is one time conversation, like we said, or versus I want to listen at all, and finally, how much access you have to the room. So depending on these variables is your pick between maybe, okay, this is something I can do with a commercial available, or this is something that maybe some people can do with the not commercial available microphones out there.
Yeah, and one thing that is important to have in mind is that when we think about microphones, or at least when I thought about microphones like 2 years ago, the first thing that I thought is governments, right? Governments putting microphones in your home. But actually, all these commercially available microphones are not used by governments. They are used for intellectual espionage, wives or husbands trying to find if the other partner is cheating on them, and all these type of things. So there is a lot of variety of usages that goes around this technology, and that's why all these type of things like come into place. So right now we are heading into the part of the presentation that we will talk about detection. But please, if you really are in a life-threatening situation, We recommend to just contact like a professional company where they do professional swipings of devices, and they do this for a living, right? So just be mindful.
So, well, yes, there are a lot of companies that are actually doing this for a living, and they are very good. The problem is that, imagine that you have some suspicion that maybe it's somebody's bugging you. You may call one of these companies, but then the other day you have the same suspicion in your office or your room or your car. So it's not easy to call them. The work can take up to 10 hours, which is a lot, and it's super expensive. So the problem we saw is that there was no room in the middle for any quick tool that you can use and adjust and hack a little bit and modify to make your everyday detection in any place you go. So this is why we created the Salamandra. Salamandra is a free software tool. It's SDR-based, software-defined radio-based, and you can go there, you can download it. And the idea of Salamandra is to make the detections of hidden microphones around you easier, something that you can go download, plug the SDR USB, have some detection around you, and then you have some idea of what's going on. The other problem is that if you buy one of the big hardware equipment for spy microphone detections, it may be suspicious. If somebody's looking at you, they will notice that you are buying this, which is telling them that actually you know that you are bad, which is bad for you again. So the less they know and the more you know, it's better. In this case, it's just a software. You download it, USB, and you have an idea of what's going on. So this is the type of device we are using. It's very well-known SDR basic device. It's a TV tuner that you can buy from $10 online, and a lot of people has been using it for years for SDR. So we are using one of these devices, like this one I have in here, is the same. And Salamandra is actually, in the background, using a tool that is very well-known tool called RTL Power. It's one of the tools that is reading the information coming from the USB device, and it's converting this into power levels, and it's giving you, from a range of frequencies, the power levels detected by the RTL Power tool. So Salamandra is reading these power levels, and it's working with these for detections. So which is the basic idea behind Salamandra for detection of hidden microphones? It's taking the power levels. In this case, you have here normal FM radio. This is the transmission, the frequency where it's transmitting. And it's taking these peaks, and it's actually counting them. So when you plug a microphone, you will see this. So you can see that there is much more noise in the frequencies. And also, you will see that there are a lot of peaks around. This is because you are usually close to the microphone. So the closer you are to the power source, the more spurious frequencies you will find, the more noise around, and you will see other frequencies being also having this peak of power. So if you move away from the microphone, you will see that these frequencies are going down, and there is only one frequency, the frequency which the microphone is using for transmission. So we are using this idea and counting this noise, in a sense, to know how close or far away you are from the microphone. So in here, this is an idea of putting a threshold, that is the blue line, and then we are counting how many peaks are over this threshold. This is a super basic idea. It's not a new idea, probably, but it's a very simple way of reading very fast a huge range of frequencies and finding if you are closer or not to this source of power frequencies. This is helping us to split and separate between the FM radio station that is super powerful, but it's far away, against the microphone that is super small and less powerful, but it's close to you. So we run several experiments because as research background that we have, we wanted to know, OK, which is the best threshold for this? So this table is showing the first two thresholds. That means the high of the power level that we want to detect, that is the first column, and the second column is the amount of peaks that we are counting, okay? These two values are the values that we are modifying to know how good or bad is the detection. So we run 85 experiments with different microphones, different setups, different thresholds in different situations, scenarios, rooms, train, in the street. And then we count, OK, there was a microphone. Did you detect it? That is a true positive. If there is a detection from the tool, but there is no microphone, that is a false positive, right? And then if there is no microphone and I'm not detecting it, I'm having a true negative in there. And if I'm saying, oh no, there is no microphone, and there is, in reality, that is called a false negative. So we count these errors, and then we compute some numbers. We call them metrics to know which is the best detection, right? So the third column, we call it the F measure ratio. This is a balance between the accuracy and the precision. And then we have the false positive rate. This is a ratio of how many times you said, oh, it's positive, there is a detection, and actually there was not microphone. And then the accuracy, the precision, and the ratio of true positives, the times that you have a good detection. So we count all of these, and we found the best solution for us. To compare, we also bought this tool that is called the Ghost. This is a hardware detector. You can also buy online for very, very small amount of money. And this is a tool that you can press a button and you can see if there are microphones around you. So it's one of the easiest way to have some also some hardware tool to help you. So we were comparing Salamandra with this tool. This is the line you can see there, the Ghost. This is the performance of the Ghost. And this is the performance of Salamandra. So the best setup for us is the last one, where we have some 73% of F measure. This is pretty good. And then we have 11% of false positive ratio. So this means that we lose some microphones. So there were situations where we say, oh, there's a microphone, and there was not. And there were some situations where we say, here, F measure, OK, here, right? There were some ways to say, oh, I think that there are no microphones around me, and actually there were. So this is showing that no tool is perfect, and you should modify the values until finding whatever is best for you, right? So this is not perfect. There are errors. You will have situations where you are not finding the microphone with any tool, and you will have situations where you will say, oh, there are a lot of bugs around me, and there are none, even with a hardware one. So the good thing about Salamandra is that you can tune these parameters, and then you have a better detection. And actually, you can find the 0% false positive, which means that there were no errors if you want, right? So using Salamandra, this is an example. Let me show you Salamandra running.
So one of the good things that we thought about Salamandra was that in the detectors, hardware detectors like this, like the Ghost, you need to be pressing the button in order to be able to have a detection or not. And you cannot just be pressing the button all the time, right? So this type of softwares make it that you can leave it running, and then you just go to work and come back and try to see if there is a difference or not.
So here, this is the basic interface of Salamandra. Now it's running. It's running in some frequencies. And now there are no detection. And then this is the first bug I was showing you. I'm going to plug it to the battery. And now this is powering on. It's taking my voice. It's converting into the antenna frequency. It's transmitting around. And then here, I have plugged antenna of a USB device, and there you can see that there are some detections already. So you can see that there is the time of detection, there is the frequency, 113 megahertz, and then those sharp symbols is telling me how many of the peaks are in the frequency that I will detect. So you can see there that there are more, and then there are less, right? Which means that I'm closer to the source or I'm farther away, right? You can see there are more of them, and I'm moving away. There is a time delay, of course, in there until there is no more detection because I'm so far away.
So this also brings the problem that it's not that you're just going to a place and put a microphone, right? You need to think about the interference of devices that are there, and it's like really complicated.
So the good thing about Salamandra is that you can walk around and you can see what's going on all the time, continually, and you can record it. So you can go and see, oh, there is some frequency here I don't like, because you have devices at home, right? You have TVs and you have radios and you have phones and you have a lot of things going on. So it may happen that in some situations you are picking another frequency, right? So yesterday, for example, I was walking around and trying to see what's going on one if I walk in the Congress. And actually, I was surprised that there were no detections, so Salamander was not picking up any hidden microphones, which is good. And then I start having some detections in the frequency of 400 something. This is usually used by the radio people that is speaking with these radios. So I say, oh, somebody is speaking, actually. So I will try to see what's going on with this. So I keep walking around and actually start to try to find them, right? So, OK, where are they? So I was walking around until I was close to the place that they were transmitting, because I can see the amount of noise they were generating. So in a sense, this can be used to pinpoint any type of emitter, but we are focusing, of course, in the hidden microphones. So, why Salamander is different to others? First, you can walk around, you can find different places, you can do it for a long time. You can leave it running during the night, for example, which you cannot do if you are pressing the button of the hardware detectors. You don't have to be there doing it. So you can detect, but more importantly, and this is super new because we don't know any tool that was doing this before, you can locate microphones. Detection tools, there are a lot, like hardware ones. Software, I don't know anyone, any tool. But more importantly, this is the first time that we saw a tool that can help you locate. So of course, what we are doing here is some kind of translation from the amount of peaks in the frequency to the distance, which is not accurate, of course. These are not meters or centimeters. It's just an estimation. But it's helping you know if you are far away or not. And second, the idea is that you can use RTL power to actually store the audio profiles in these power levels. And this is a file. So you can send this to anyone in the internet to help you with Salamandra or not to see if you have a mic at home. And this is something very new. You can do this in any room and then send the file to other people that actually can help you know if there was something weird around. And finally, you can profile your environment. You can take a measurement today that you know there are no bugs, and then take it tomorrow or in the night or in a special situation, and then you will see the differences. Because remember that you have the TV and the telephone and your neighbor's phone. So if you know your environment, you will notice the differences. OK, so real-life experiments.
Yeah. So again, we wanted to make this research fun for us, not only like all these experiments and numbers. So we wanted to try them out and to kind of design experiments like, OK, let's think that one of us is the victim and one of us is evil. So I will be the evil one planting devices, and he will have this Salamandra tool trying to detect them. So the methodology of the experiments were something like this. The seeker, that is, in this case, Sebastian, he will go out of the room, and I will get in, and I will hide a microphone, or not, right? And then he gets in. He starts speaking some passwords.
Not real ones.
Keywords, right? And I will try to be listening to this to try to measure, again, like the accuracy of the words and the listening quality. And then we will measure two things. The first thing that we will measure is the time to detection, which is, do I know if there is a microphone here or not? And then we will measure the time to actually find the microphone that was hidden. So that is two completely different things, right? So we wanted to know how hard it is to actually find them. And then we will measure what we call the recall, which is he mentioned a certain amount of passwords or critical words. So I will try to write them down. And then the recall is the amount of passwords that I heard over the total passwords that he spoken. So we can this way we have some measure of how to compare these experiments. We did several like this. And here is a small table comparing them. In all the cases, we were hiding microphones, and we were finding them, which is good news. The time to detect was in almost all cases, like really short, like in a matter of minutes, you can save with a a certain level of certainty that there was a microphone, but you can see the difference between the detection and the time to locate them. It was like kind of takes far more time to actually find them, right? And we also measure the recall, as we saw, the amount of passwords spoken over the passwords that I could listen. And this was, in only one case, it was 100%. In all the other cases, it was the amount of passwords that I could listen properly were very low compared to the passwords spoken.
Yeah, and you can see there that there is one experiment that it took 25 minutes to detect. And then we found at the end that actually the microphone was running out of battery, so it was not transmitting all the time. And yeah. It was super frustrating, right? There was no detection, like no location. Even the ghost was not detecting it. And then at the end, it was super amount of frequency energy going out of the microphone signal, and Salamandra detected. So there was a detection 20 minutes after that. No location, right? I was not able to find it because it was powered off.
So
sorry, and you can see that there were no password listened there. So I was saying password, but there were no password being listened, which is super good for me in this case.
Yeah, and you can see how this make it difficult. If the password as the thing or the great seal, it was not emitting anything, you can actually not find it because it's not emitting anything. So this was very nice to compare. And here are some pictures of the best locations that I found to hide the microphones. This was actually from the example of the Czechoslovak bag, so I hid it under the table. It took like really long to find. It was kind of the last stone left in our place. We were almost, Sebastian was almost starting to kick off the wall, so it was very fun, and it was very interesting to see to understand like the logic of the people, where are the typical places where you go to search, and the other places that you just keep for granted that there is not there.
Yeah, because the signal is bouncing around, so the problem is that you may have good detections in two places in the room, so it's super easy to say, oh, it's here, and start breaking everything apart, but maybe it's not there, right? So it was super difficult to come down and say, okay, this is the place I really think it's here, and then searching around you, right? So detection, it's at most 1 meter around you, so it's actually a lot of places if you think about it.
Okay, 5 minutes.
Yes, five.
So another place that was very, very hard to find was this one.
Okay, so we can ask, do you know where is the microphone in there? It's a whiteboard, in case you.
Yeah, it's a whiteboard, and this was very interesting because it had like a little thing that you can open and hide it there. So it was very fun because it took almost forever to find, and it was very fun to see people searching for it and not finding it because it was, again, just in front of people's eyes, right? It was very clever.
So also, being in front of a whiteboard is a very nice location because the people is having talks in there, right?
Yeah, maybe very interesting talks. Mm. So, conclusions. Hiding a microphone, in my experience, was very hard because it's not that you hide it in the bathroom or in the kitchen, right? You have to know your target, you have to have physical access, you need to know where the important conversations happen, right? So, and what is what you want to find out? So you also need to solve the problem of the power, and you need to understand the behavior of the people.
Yeah, and even if you have some locations that you want to hide, remember that, yes, you can put it underground and nobody will find it, but you are not going to listen. So the location, it's super hard because you need to listen and not to be found. So this is something that it was very, very hard. I was moving around half of the house and was not able to find for a long time.
So the detection with Salamandra is really fast. You can see that it was a matter of minutes. And listening was hard. I think we have some examples here.
Yes.
That we can quickly play.
So. Do we have audio?
Yeah. Sure, you should have.
No? Can we have audio from the computer?
Yes.
Thank you. So this is with music. We are trying some FM music in the background.
So the thing with this microphone was it was very interesting to kind of
Yeah. So you can see how it was kind of, you can hear the voice, you can see that someone is talking, but and you can hear the music as well. Mm. But in and it's believed that 50 years ago, putting radio arm and then speaking was a technique to kind of not making people not able to listen to you. But with current technologies, this doesn't apply any longer.
So we asked Fermín Valeros to help us cleaning this audio with computer. You can see it's much more cleaner, right? No music?
No.
So the thing with this microphone was
okay, so
yeah. So basically the point is that you can kind of really quickly, this was half hour work, and it's really easy to completely remove the music, right? So it's not that you should not put music, but it's, you should not believe that music will cover up for you, because yeah. That's not longer
imagine true. If you have resources and a large organization, this is very easy to do, right? So don't trust any noise around you to do this.
Yeah, so be more creative.
Sorry. There you go.
Yeah. So we believe, like, for closing this up, we believe that this our work have like three key contributions. First, that we did a systematic research on the usage and performance of these bugs, and we haven't seen any other work doing things like this. We hope that after this talk, you just get your SDR and you try to do stuff like this with other models. Maybe, I don't know, your grandma has a microphone that stores somewhere, so you can try it out. We have the first SDR-based mic detection tool. It's available on GitHub. And we have the first real-life experiments documented that can be used to compare with other technologies, and you can use to actually learn and compare with other things.
So before concluding, I want to say that we are going to give now to the people here, we have one SDR, USB SDR, that it's for you. So now at the end of the talk, we are going to give to somebody there. So be prepared for that and remind us, this is for you. Second, can you give us, please, the microphones that were there? So yeah, there are spy microphones, but we want them back, so remember to bring them. And to conclude, we can say that audio is dropping is a real threat. Don't be fooling here. Yes, it's not straightforward. Yes, malware is easier in some ways. This is still happening as far as we know. So be aware of the threat. Now you know how at least commercially available microphones work, so you have an idea of what can be done and what cannot be done. This is important for your protection. And then be sure that you are taking the measurements to protect yourself. So go there, download Salamandra, help it, modify it, hack it, find microphones, tell us about them, advance the fields, and try to help others. So every time we are talking about this, there are a lot of people concerned about this. They say, oh, I can do with some sweeping of my hotel room, for example, right? This is something that can help you a lot.
Yeah, so try it out, let us know how it works, and yeah. Thank you.
You want to do it now or after?
So, thank you.
I don't know. We have. You can throw it. Just, I don't know.
Do we have questions?
Yes. Questions now.
Questions in the room? Please use the microphones. We have microphones over there.
Okay, so, they're maybe before the questions, we were going to give the USB SDR. So we are going to throw it, okay? This is the best way we found to throw it. We came up with several ideas, but this is the easiest we got. So I'm going to...
We will throw the small thing. You can pick up the antenna later.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah.
It's a bit dangerous, you know.
Yeah, so I will hold this, and the one that gets the USB, it's going to get the antenna, come here and get the antenna, okay? Are you ready for that? There. One. Be careful.
I think he got that. A round of applause. Yeah.
If if you don't want it, don't sell it, please. Just give it to another people. and pick up the cable, please. Whoever holds it.
We have questions?
Okay, we would start with the Q&A, starting with microphone number one, please.
Test. In the Snowden leaks, there were a kind of internal catalog where one department showed off to the other departments what they can technically do and what the amount of money is they need for it. Mm-hmm. Did you look at these catalogs for equivalent techniques, technique in the of the NSA, or didn't you look at these as a source?
We didn't look at that. Do you?
No,
you know? We have no idea. So we don't know if there was some idea there about microphones. No. Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone number two, I think. Yes, he's hidden behind the cameras.
Thank you. One question. You talked about FM microphones, and you said that this is the technology that is commercially available. But do you know which is the technology which is professionally used by, I don't know, government agencies or...
Does everybody
use FM?
Of course. I think that nowadays it's easier to go digital way. So like the GSM that we have in here, it's much more safe
efficient
to do.
Yeah.
There are some limitations of the technique. It can still be detected, but it's not so noisy. And remember that we didn't have access to any of this equipment, so it's just our ideas based on the pictures and based on the information we found about real cases, how they are doing it. However, if you look at the microphone in the Chinese case, doesn't look like too advanced. All right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And microphone number three, please.
Thank you. Thank you for the talk. What I really like about your tool is that it can be run 24/7. So that will even work or detect more advanced bugs that store and the audio and then forward it compressed only when the victim is supposedly sleeping or out of the home. That's a really good idea.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for that comment. Microphone number four, please.
Now that SDRs are available, cheaply available, so you can monitor the RF spectrum easily, what you do. Thank you for doing that, great project. Have you thought of extending it to the light spectrum? Because all the LED lighting works with switched power supplies, so that would it would be easy to kind of PWM signals out of that?
No. So, we didn't thought about it. I think it's a good idea. I'm not sure if the same methodology will apply of the noise around you. Probably not. So I think that it's possible, but we should come up with a new idea about how it's working. As far as I know, with lasers, you have to be in the path of the laser. So the detection is not being broadcast in that sense. So maybe it's quite more complicated in that case. But I think there are, like you said, plenty of situations that we still have to go and check how we can do to protect ourselves in these situations. Yeah.
Or you can try it out.
You can try, please.
Thanks. Microphone number, I hope it's five.
Yes,
it is.
So as an inspiration of how to take this one step further, if you could manage to attach the antenna to your mobile phone and run the application on your mobile phone, then you could make use of technology recently developed or like released by Apple or Google, like ARKit for augmented reality tracking, which would allow you to track where you are in the room. And then you could, by fusing the different signals you received over time, you could show a heat map, which would exactly show you the possibility or the possible places where there could be something.
Yeah, that. Sorry.
Yeah.
Would be awesome, actually. We thought about, like, we need a heat map here. Like, I'm walking around and I was remembering the best location points, and I was not able to plot that. So I completely agree that a small location system trying to convert into this would be awesome. I'm not sure. Maybe we can even do with Bluetooth devices or like the VR, like you said, like their infrared cameras. Maybe now. It's okay. If we do that, it's not going to be so cheap or easy, but I agree that it's going to help a lot on that. Yeah.
You would basically get the location.
Only one question, please.
Okay. So, later. Yeah. Thank you.
I do not see the signal angel, but do we have? We do. Okay. So please, one question from the chat.
The internet wanted to know if you have done research about bugs that use other communication technologies such as Wi-Fi.
Yeah, no, not so far. We focused specifically on FM bugs because it was like the easy first step on this direction. And we needed to reduce the amount of the spectrum to something that we could manage to do like in 1.5 years. Yeah. So yeah, no, we didn't. Do that.
Yeah, so hello, internet. But no, we use GSM, that is also digital. It's not the same as Wi-Fi, okay? I think that Wi-Fi can be more difficult because you have a lot of Wi-Fi around you all the time. In the case of GSM, you may see the hopping frequency if you are using hopping frequency. So we managed to detect the GSM that it's digital. We never try with Wi-Fi so far. So maybe that is better for the listener. Yeah.
And remember that we have like a 14 pages long paper with all the experiments documented, so you can go check it out and let us know if you have questions or ideas, or you can experiment it on yourself and try it out.
Thanks. I think microphone number 8 has a question.
Yes. Hello. Yes. Thank you for your talk. Is there any reason why you went with the strength of an FM signal versus trying to reproduce a tone? So a suggestion for Salamandra, perhaps you emit a particular tone frequency and then you look for any FM broadcast on the spectrum that can also match that tonal frequency, not unlike a guitar tuner on your Android phone.
Yes, yes. Actually, that was the second idea to put in Salamandra, so that was super good. We say, oh, we are going to actually generate a pattern of tones, and then I will search this pattern matching the frequency. And we were super excited to implement this, and then we figured it out that, well, we didn't need it because it was working so well that it was like, okay, maybe we don't. So, but I agree, it's a super good idea, and I want to implement it or somebody implement it at some point in the time because it's super nice to have this pattern, and then you can actually filter out a lot of false positive errors, a lot. So, yeah, I agree. Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Yeah.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, a really warm round of applause for Veronica and Sebastian from MuchLab. MuchLab, sorry.